we say hello to our friend Greg Wyshynski, covers the league for ESPN.com. Greg, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. And it has been a lot of fun to see kind of the drama for that final wild card spot in the Western Conference. Now, there's still some drama shaking up with 1, 2, and 3, but not as much fun as there is for those two wild card spots, in particular that final one, because all of a sudden the Avs have risen up, even though they had a tough loss last night to the Blackhawks. The Coyotes were such that cute story, and could they finish it off? And they're going the wrong direction at the end of the regular season. How do you think it's going to shake out? And, of course, the Predators could factor in this, because they can go along with a regulation win tonight over the Wild could really push Minnesota a little bit further out of the picture.
Yeah, you called it drama. You know, usually in drama, it's people striving to achieve something. And in this case, it doesn't seem like anybody wants the last wild card spot. No one's really, you know, jumped up and grabbed the brass ring, as it were. You know, it's interesting. You have the Colorado Avalanche, the Minnesota Wild, the Arizona Coyotes. They all have 6 games remaining. The Avalanche right now with a 2-point lead. I would say that the Avs right now are not only in the driver's seat from a points perspective, but maybe in the driver's seat as far as having played the best hockey recently. You know, Minnesota is still in this thing, and they have an advantage of, you know, playing at home, you know, in a couple of these games, or, you know, three at home, 3 on the road. But there's some word this morning that Zach Parise might be a little bit banged up for them. And Arizona, I think, is just kind of showing its novice nature as a playoff contender right now, and not being able to win games that they should win. I mean, for goodness sakes, going into Jersey with a playoff seat on the line and losing to the Devils is not a good look. I would say that Colorado would be my team right now that I'm looking at, but I would also say that if Bruce Boudreau, who we're going to see coach against the Predators tonight, is good at anything, it's winning in the regular season. And, you know, rare is the season when his teams miss the playoffs. So it's going to take some heavy lifting from the Wild, but I think that Colorado right now is the choice.
That's a good point. Do we know the timetable on Landeskog, who was initially diagnosed being out 4 to 6 weeks? I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with how long that time frame is. If they get in, is he available for the first round? Do we know that?
That was the projection when he went out. Mikko Rantanen, their other brilliant forward, has been banged up recently too. I think they expect him back if he's not back already. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, they're a weird little team. There was a time during the season when their goaltending was amongst the best in the league. Then it completely fell apart. There were times this season when their top line was as dominant as anything that we've seen in hockey, and then they broke up the line for a while. They're a bizarre team, but they do seem to be trending in a different direction, at least subtly, at least picking up points here and there than the teams that they're competing against.
Greg, if you were to rank your trust factor top 3 in the Western Conference going into postseason, we'll forget the final 6, 7 games of regular season, going into postseason, give me 1, 2, 3, the teams you trust the most for the long run the Western Conference would be as follows.
Well, it's a good question. I would have to say Winnipeg would be 1, if only because my 2 and my 3 are both going to have to play each other in the first round, which is San Jose and Vegas, which sucks. And it's just, you know, another indictment of the poor playoff structure that we have now, where the best teams aren't protected in the postseason after an 82-game regular season. It's a bummer that we're going to lose one of those teams, but with the spread between the Flames and the Sharks right now, it's almost seeming inevitable if they're going to play in the first round. I think in Winnipeg's case, although there is wild swings in quality, I mean, you know, the game before they landed a 5 spot on the Predators, they lost 5-0 to Vegas. They're still a team that I think is formidable at home in the playoffs, has loads of offense, and I think Hollebuck is certainly kind of rounded back into form after struggling earlier this season. So I would say they're my top, most confident pick, only because they're not going to have to play someone like the Sharks or the Knights in the first round, which means that they're probably going to be in the second round. Well, I can't guarantee that either of those other teams will be. But the winner of that series, to me, could easily be the team that advances from the conference. Those are, I think, maybe the 2 best teams in the conference playing in the first round.
The Predators' next home game is Saturday against the Blue Jackets. if the Blue Jackets don't get in, what happens?
That's a great question. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it would be such an unprecedented thing to think about a team that went so all in at the trade deadline and then missed the playoffs. I don't even know what you do. I mean, do you fire the general manager at that point? Do you fire John Tortorella at that point? You are now looking at a situation potentially where Duchesne, their big trade deadline acquisition, walks. And then Panarin and Bobrovsky both walk at the same time. So my working theory here is that Jarmo Kekalainen and the GM might be safe, if only because if you fire the GM at this point with everything else going on, then you're throwing the entire franchise into chaos. And, you know, John Davidson, the president of the franchise, is friends with John Tortorella. He's a John Tortorella fan. But, I mean, how many times are we going to see this guy coach his way to the playoff bubble with talented teams before you – wonder whether or not there's a better solution there? So it is a conundrum what they do if they miss the playoffs. And, you know, for their sake, I hope they make it. You know, there's a part of me that wants to see how they answer this conundrum, and there's a part of me that just would really, really, really feel bad for Blue Jackets fans who obviously were, you know, over the moon of a trade deadline when they made those deals and now watch their team not to play up to that potential.
Greg Wyshynski is with us, ESPN hockey analyst, just sizing up the stretch run here, 2 weeks to go in the regular season. And Greg, after what happened over the weekend, Jets beat the Predators, Blues win again, and Dallas loses, it's an overwhelming probability now, probably somewhere around 90-95%, that in some form or fashion it will be Predators-Blues in the first round. That's a very interesting matchup, with the Blues having won the season series against the Predators. They're very obviously familiar with one another, and the Blues keep playing really solid hockey.
For sure. And then, you know, the first thing that's paramount there, obviously, is to get home ice. I mean, everybody knows how difficult it is to play in Nashville in the postseason. So that's what's paramount there, I think, for the Predators at this point, if that's going to end up being the matchup. There's a couple of intriguing things here in that series. The first, obviously, is who's going to end up earning the crease for the Blues. You know, Jordan Binnington, their rookie goalie, has all but saved their season. I think he's played his way into the top three for rookie of the year, despite not having a massive amount of work history this season. But Jake Allen, the guy he usurped for a while as a starter, has played really well down the stretch. And there's been a lot of talk around the Blues as to who they're ultimately going to be loyal to. You know, Jake Allen, the veteran guy that's been in the playoffs before, or Jordan Binnington, the kid who hasn't. And by kid, I mean he's 25. I mean, he's an older kid.
Yeah.
But a kid nonetheless in the NHL terms. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing there. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, well, as we talked about before, like, the prevailing wisdom around this league about the Predators right now is that it's just not a team that's come together well for whatever reason. And, you know, the more people that you talk to about, well, what do you think is going to be the big surprise in the first round of the playoffs, the more people you hear say, I think that Nashville might not make it out of the first round, which is something that I think a lot of us couldn't conceive earlier this season. So these are the two sort of competing factors, a Blues team that's been trending up pretty much all season after Binnington came in and things turned around under coach Craig Berube, and a Nashville team that even after the acquisitions at the trade deadline just doesn't seem like it's clicking like it should.
It's funny, Greg, because, you know, going into the second period of the game against Winnipeg on Saturday, I would have said, hey, there's a pretty good argument that both the Jets and the Predators are starting to round into form, and, hey, isn't this a great hockey game? The first period was just awesome. It was nothing-nothing, and Predators easily could have been ahead 1-0. Then they get a goal that gets waved off, and it was probably the right call, though that we can have a discussion about what is inconclusive and what is conclusive about the angles we get sometimes on played with a high stick. But that aside, right. You know, everything crumbles in the second half of the game, and Winnipeg wins a lopsided affair. And now all of a sudden you're back with that sour feeling of what happened there. Are they coming together? But at that point, the Predators are 3-0-1 playing against some really good teams, and it does look like it's coming together. So it's interesting how it can ebb and flow like that.
Yeah, and that's why you're expecting tonight them to come back with a pretty a pretty strong effort. I mean, you know, like I said earlier.
Well, that's what you hope, right? That's what the mystery is about the team. That's what everybody. That's what you really need to see if you want to see the Predators moving in the right direction.
Right, exactly. And you know, not only that, but against a conference rival in some ways, a team that's going to be playing hard for its own playoff life. You know, the Jets lost 5-0 before they won 5-0. And I think you're looking for the same sort of bounce back effort for the Predators tonight. And it's these little tests along the way to see what they're going to be. But like you said, the bigger issue with this team this season, and I think you hit on it, is every time you think they've turned the corner, then they do something that convinces you that they haven't. And that's a real problem, I think, that the Predators have had for the majority of this season, is failing to really kind of round into form and play the kind of hockey that they're capable of playing, at least on paper. And we've seen teams all over this league, you know, San Jose, Vegas, Boston, you know, Tampa's done it from the minute they step on the ice, that just look like Stanley Cup contenders. And it's not to say the Predators can't get into the playoffs and all of a sudden snap into form in a tough playoff series, and then, you know, away we go if they win the first round. But at this point, you just wonder whether or not they can put together four consistent games in a playoff series in order to win it.
It's going to be an interesting week. Tonight in Minnesota, Friday night in Pittsburgh, Columbus here on Saturday. How this all shakes out. And the Blues, by the way, have a big game tonight too, so picture may become a little bit clearer for that second and third spot after tonight. Greg, always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing this. By the way, we enjoyed our conversation with Richard Deitch last week when we talked about his conversation with you and Emily Kaplan.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it was fun to do that. It's always fun to do podcasts that you listen to anyway. And he put together a good one for those of you who are interested in podcasts and maybe you've got your own and you want to learn some tricks of the trade. He put together a nice show with myself, Emily, and some other podcasters on how we do our thing. So it was a fun listen for sure.
Yeah, thanks for doing this as always. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski covers the league, NHL, for ESPN.com.